You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
To a caller on the phone lines before we look at the bright side here on this Freedom Friday. For those of you who missed the 6 o'clock hour of the show, Democrat Senator Tim Kaine. He says, whoa. We don't get our rights. We don't get our freedoms from God. We get our rights from laws. We get our rights from government. And then he compared this concept, which is in our Declaration of Independence, that we get our freedoms from our Creator, that freedom comes from God, that no government can take away these inalienable rights. And he says, that's no different than the theocracy in Iran. And then Ted Cruz totally demolished that argument. Fred in the Flathead wanting to weigh in on the phone lines right now. Fred, thanks for the call. What's your thoughts?
Hey, thanks for that. What a Freedom Friday to talk about rights coming from God. Yeah, Tim Kaine, don't forget, he was Hillary's vice president nominee. I remember the media and some Republicans telling us what a moderate he was at the time. The concept of equality is often abused. They play on people's misunderstanding of equal. It does mean equal treatment by the government. It doesn't mean equality of outcome. And that's very often either leveraged to play on people's resentments of their situation or their outcome. It just means you get an equal standing before the government, whether you're rich or poor, or no matter color, anything, religion, all that. So, I do miss that version of Ted Cruz. I'd like to see more of that, and I'd like to see more like him standing up for something so clear and so important, especially on a day like Freedom Friday.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it was great to see. And if anybody missed it, I'll play a shorter version maybe later on in the 8 o'clock hour from what I played in the 6 o'clock hour with the full audio. But, yeah, no, great phone call, Fred. Great to hear from you as always. How reassuring is that, too, that we know that there are certain inalienable rights that our government can't take away from us, that these are just rights given to us by our Creator. And it also shows that any real government would never put themselves above God. But yet you look at dictatorships and tyrannical regimes around the world and throughout history, especially these Marxist communist regimes, and that's exactly what they work to do. That's exactly what they seek to do, is they claim to be greater than God. They claim that there is no God, and so they try to play God on earth. It's a repeated theme that you see of communism and Marxism, and you know, it's kind of something that we've talked about with David Noble here on the show, which is where you really see right now in America in particular. We used to debate, well, what are we going to do with Social Security? Well, what are we going to do with tax rates? Well, the Democrats want to raise your taxes this much, the Republicans want to lower your taxes that much. That's the stuff we used to debate. Now, it is straight up good versus evil, right versus wrong, up versus down. And by the way, that ties in with something that Vice President J.D. Vance had to say, summing up these RFK Jr. Hearings in the Senate yesterday. All right, we'll talk about all that more later in the hour, later in the morning. First up, though, let's get to Becky Hillier, looking at the bright side here every Freedom Friday. We'll start with Becky right after this. She's got a great story to talk about and more.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is House Call for Health. Mental health professionals say it's important for everyone to feel like they have a solid support network. But in a world where loneliness has been called an epidemic, it can be hard for many people to feel connected. In this back-to-school season, college students may be especially impacted by feelings of isolation. One university is sharing insights into an ongoing program hoping to bridge the gaps. In a bid to help build understanding and connection, researchers at Arizona State University started the All Ears Friendship Bench Program. Friendship benches are staffed by older adult volunteers. Students can come and talk to them, volunteers offering a safe space for students to feel seen and heard, while also passing along their wisdom and life experiences. The goal is to help create opportunities for different generations to connect. About one in three adults reporting feeling lonely, according to the CDC. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
A message from FireSafe Montana. A process called wildfire scoring may be used to determine the insurability of your property. Your home may be insurable today, but it might not be in the future. If building a new home, check with your insurance agent to determine if they will insure it, how that score was determined, and what the cost will be. And remember, wildfires can happen inside the city limits. This message brought to you by FireSafe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I got to laugh at this thing that Becky Hillier's got on her Facebook page here. So Becky Hillier, if you go to Becky Hillier TV on Facebook, that's where you can find all the fun stuff, the nice stuff, the heartwarming stuff that she shares on social media. And heck, she's got a bunch of followers. She's got 33,000 followers. That's a big deal in Montana. Former statewide TV morning show host and more. But Becky, I had to laugh because you've got this watermelon and it's got all the stickers at the grocery store on it. And somehow the boneless sticker ended up on the watermelon. And then I think the meme says, I don't care how much I have to pay for boneless watermelon. It's worth it. So that's pretty funny. But it reminds me of when I was overseas with the military. You know, I was buying some groceries on base. This was in the Middle East, and they had the bologna. You know, the circular bologna that comes in the plastic package, and in black print ink on the bologna package, it says for military use only. You know, which of course is because they're selling it in the commissary. But of course, it's kind of funny because it's bologna, and it's like, this is probably weapons-grade bologna that I'm eating right now.
Well, you might be able to use it in interrogations, you know, as a threat. No.
But you know, speaking of bologna and sandwiches and processed foods, I just saw a story from the Scripps TV stations. I think I saw it on KPAX's website. Judith Gap in Judith Gap, Montana. The schools they're moving away from processed foods and all the, you know, sugary stuff, and they're going to try to get more real foods and, you know, fresh veggies, more real protein, things like that. So the MAHA agenda coming to a lunchroom near you.
Yeah, I saw that story, Aaron. I thought about having that be my bright side story, but I thought that was really neat in this small community in Montana that, you know, you hear farm to table in restaurants in bigger cities. They're kind of doing farm to table in a school district there. So healthier foods for our kids. And yeah, make America healthy again starts in Judith Gap, Montana. Who would have thunk it?
Well, and I know there's a lot of schools across the state that also, you know, they use local beef, you know, from ranchers in their schools. And I'll tell you about, you talk about making America healthy again, getting locally raised beef, locally slaughtered beef right there for your kids, good protein sources. Yeah, that is just huge. I was also going to ask you kind of a random question. So, you know, when you go home to Miles City or even like, you know, you're cruising around town and a place where you always go, a place where you always went, and then all of a sudden they have something new and it throws you for a complete loop. So we're at Moose's Saloon in Kalispell last night, which is one of my favorite all-time places, right? I don't know if you've ever been to have you ever been to Moose's Saloon in Kalispell, Becky?
I don't think so.
Well, you would know if you'd been there. They have sawdust on the floors.
Haven't been there then.
Oh, that Moose's Saloon, you know, on the western side of the state near Highway 2, and then Eugene's Pizza on the eastern side of the state in Highway 2 in Glasgow. My two favorite pizza places growing up as a kid, because, you know, I went back and forth between both towns, right? So we went there last night. Well, it used to be back in the day that the bathroom was in the back hallway by where you order your pizzas on the way out to the parking lot on the back door. So I head back that way. They've got new bathrooms now all of a sudden. And I just thought it was funny because it's like, man, you know you're old school when you still think that the bathroom for Moose's Saloon is still in the back hallway. But the other funny thing I remember as a kid, when I was a little kid going into Moose's Saloon, you had to like raise your hands above your head to wash your hands in the sink because the sink was at like adult chest level. And I remember I asked my dad about it. I said, why is the sink so high? And he's like, oh, it's so the drunks don't pee in the sink.
Hey, it makes sense, you know? You got to figure out how to alleviate the problem.
But anyway, last night they had new bathrooms, and they were closer to the front of the saloon, and the sinks are not at chest level. So I was like, wow, it's just it's a whole new world.
I love it. Yeah, there was, you know, when I was a kid, I would get on my bike, especially on the weekends, and I would just ride my bike all over town. And even though I grew up in Miles City, I could not tell you the names of the streets I rode down. You just know them by like landmarks. You know, you come up to this spot, there's the fountain, and you take a left. And so speaking of that fountain, one time I was riding around, we had gone back as adults, and we hadn't been back to that area of town in a while. And we drove by where this fountain was. And I always thought when I was a kid, it was so cool. It was like this rock fountain. And the fountain was gone. And I looked and I said, What wasn't there a fountain there at one point? And it just felt like I was in some kind of weird time warp. And it just messed up my whole direction, everything, because that fountain was gone. And then, you know, you drive down, or you ride down or drive down streets where there were big trees in front of these houses. And all of a sudden you can see the house more clearly and you think, what changed? That house looks different. Well, there used to be a big tree on the corner and it was cut down. And so little things like that. And you're right. These routines and things we get so used to when we're kids. And then all of a sudden there's the old switcheroo and it just throws you for a loop a little bit.
You know, we see so many landscapes changing all across Montana, you know, now with all the growth, especially in a lot of the change, you know, a lot of parts of eastern Montana, though, you go back and you're like, okay, it still looks almost exactly the way it did back when I was a kid. Might be a different sign on the shop now, but still pretty much the same. But then it's fun when you go to a place like Moose's Saloon and it's like, all right, they still got the glass mugs for beverages. They still got the sawdust floors. They still got decades of names carved into the wood, you know, booths and walls. So that's always fun. All right, we're going to look at the bright side coming up right after the Farm and Ranch Report. Stand by. More to follow with Becky Hillier right after this.
Fox on Football. I'm Jared Max. Welcome to the 2025 NFL season, the first Sunday of games almost here. After 18 seasons with the Green Bay Packers and 2 years with the Jets, albeit one full season because of a torn Achilles tendon, Aaron Rodgers, approaching his 42nd birthday in December, begins anew with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, this is the second new, so it's the new. I'm loving being here.
Steelers fans await Aaron Rodgers' first game Sunday against the Jets in New Jersey. Week one of a new season for seven-time Super Bowl champ Tom Brady back in the Fox TV broadcast booth with Kevin Burkhart. They're in Landover, Maryland for Sunday's 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff between the Commanders and Giants. Fox also has early games between the Buccaneers and Falcons in Atlanta, the Browns and Bengals in Cleveland, Jaguars and Panthers in Jacksonville. 4 p.m. Eastern time starts. Seahawks home against the 49ers on Fox, Titans and the Broncos as well. Welcome back to the NFL. Jared Max, Fox News.
Well, I tell you what, we started Thursday's Montana Talks by talking about how Flathead County's Republican County Commissioners are lowering property taxes for their people. And then we wrapped up the show appropriately with Marilyn and Lolo talking about what the Democrat County Commissioners in Missoula are doing, raising your taxes. And they still can't pave the roads. What are we going to talk about on Freedom Friday, Friday's Montana Talks? Why don't you tell us? Why don't you jump in on the conversation? Statewide, 9 to 10.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Tight dairy heifer supplies could limit milk production. The nation's supply of replacement dairy heifers has dropped to a 20-year low, and a new CoBank report warns it could shrink by another 800,000 head over the next 2 years before trying to recover in 2027. One of the big reasons? Many dairy farmers have shifted to producing calves for the beef market. With the U.S. cattle supply at a 75-year low and beef prices at record highs, breeding dairy cows to beef has become a major profit driver. Last year alone, nearly 8 million beef semen units were sold to dairies, reflecting just how far the shift has gone. Dairy heifer prices have already topped $3,000 a head this year. The shortage comes as $10 billion in new dairy processing plants are set to open through 2027 in the United States, raising concerns about whether there will be enough milk cows to meet demand. CoBank economists say dairy farmers may have to slow culling cows to keep milk flowing, but rebuilding the pipeline of replacement, of course, will take many years. A reminder for graduate students in the meat and animal science realm, you can apply for the W.D. Farr Scholarship Program through the National Cattlemen's Foundation through September 19th. All details can be found at the nationalcattlemensfoundation.org. I'm Lane Northland.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, now, Becky, this is pretty funny. So I just checked our messages on the Montana Talks app here. First, we were talking about, you know, Judith Gap and how they're moving to more fresh food and protein and things like that, moving away from the processed foods and all of that. Jim in Great Falls, he just told us last week how, man, there are elk running all over the place. They need some signs up on the roads warning people about all the elk that are running out here. He says, Judith Gap can butcher the roadkill elk that cross from the Little Belts to the Snowies. He says, come on, DOT, get some flashing signs that say elk crossing. So that was one message there. That would, you know, you are allowed. It is legal to use roadkill meat in Montana. I mean, if it's still fresh. So, hey, elk burgers for lunch, kids. Here you go.
Yeah, I wouldn't turn it down, honestly.
That's right.
It's elk burger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Elk burger, elk steaks, you name it. Yeah, deer meat, I don't know. I'm the type of, you know, you got to get a little more seasoning on the deer meat if you ask me, but that's just me. I know some folks really love it, but the elk meat, oh, man. And then, of course.
Yeah, it's so much different. The deer meat is a harder sell for me as well, but the elk meat is different. There's just something different about it. So that's a delicacy for sure.
I was talking about the new bathrooms at Moose's Saloon in Kalispell. Andy in Whitefish says, hey, do you remember the Bulldog's bathroom at the Bulldog Saloon in Whitefish? Becky, I don't know if you've been to that one, but if you're, you know, going for a nice stroll with the family in Whitefish, and then somebody has to use the restroom, and you say, oh, well kids, just run in there and use the bathroom in the back of this bar here. Your kids are going to have a really funny look on their face when they get out of those bathrooms, because let's just say there's some interesting posters on the wall.
Duly noted. I will put that in my notes next time I visit.
Oh, man. That's pretty funny. Andy, thanks for that message. You know, we need to get a story on our websites here. You know, somebody could do a, you know, top 10 craziest or most interesting bathrooms, restaurant or bar bathrooms in the state of Montana. That would be a really fun photo gallery to have on our website. Okay, well, let's look at the bright side. Becky, what's the bright side story you got for us this week?
Well, you know, Aaron, when you get married, your wedding day is supposed to be one of the most memorable, one of the most beautiful days of your life and memorable for all the right reasons. And you put so much time and attention into the planning and all the little details, not only for yourself, but for your guests who are going to come and join you. Well, recently, there was a couple from Great Falls, Travis and his bride-to-be Carson, and they were getting married in White Sulphur Springs. So the morning of their wedding, they show up to the venue, and they find that everything that had been preset the night before, all of the decorations, everything, had been vandalized. The venue was ransacked. The tables were overturned. Wine bottles had been broken. Decorations had been torn down, destroyed. Gosh, the person who did it even emptied the propane tanks. Extension cords were cut. The soda and beer cans, every single one of them were punctured. So it was just an absolute mess. And you can imagine, instead of being their dream day, it looked more like a nightmare. Well, what's great about small towns is that word gets around really fast, as we know, and this time in a very good way. So the folks in White Sulphur Springs all chipped in where they could.
2 minutes, stations.
The Edith Hotel volunteered to wash the linens and the tablecloths for them and also found some picture frames and other items that they might be able to use to decorate the venue. And they laid them all out on a table in the hotel and told them, just come over and take whatever you need. So the Edith Hotel chipped in, and then Bar 47 just down the road, they donated shot glasses. The grocery store in White Sulphur Springs, their employees printed new pictures of the couple to help them decorate and place around the venues. And some of the shoppers in the grocery store heard about what happened to Travis and Carson and the wedding venue. And so they wanted to help too. So some of the shoppers ended up donating to Travis and Carson's honeymoon fund. So by 4:30 p.m., the venue had been completely transformed, and Travis walked in and said, you would never even know that anything happened. I mean, it looked amazing. And Carson was so blown away by the involvement of the community and the care that everybody took to make sure that their day turned out to be beautiful and memorable. She said, really, love wins. You can't worry about this kind of stuff. In the end, love won the day. And I thought, what an amazing commentary on small towns, not only in Montana, but all across the country. And just that spirit of getting together, that spirit of community that shined through to make sure that Travis and Carson were able to salvage their wedding day and really make some great memories. And there were pictures included with the story where they're dancing and they're smiling, and you would never know that just hours before that, it looked like their day had been ruined. But they were getting married, and the community saw to it and something saw fit to make sure that they had an amazing venue.
Yeah, and something that was so bad turned into something that was even cooler, even better than you would have ever imagined as a result of all that. Yeah, what an incredible war. Yeah, we're going to talk about the War Department. Got to talk about that one with George Blackard. Freedom Friday coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Becky, though, this Look at the Bright Side story that you shared today. I remember when that happened. It was only about a month or so ago. And I remember seeing the photographs. I forget if it was one of the TV stations or one of the newspapers where I first saw it. I know we had a story on our website as well, but it was like, wow, everything was trashed. I mean, everything was ripped up. All the glasses were broken. The whole place, it was like a hurricane went through that place. And so then, or a tornado. Right. And then to hear how it just turned into an even more remarkable wedding and story at the end of it is so cool. We actually did, our family, we did a little kind of a weekend trip in the White Sulphur Springs, Martinsdale area one weekend. And we had such a great time. We, rented a cabin near White Sulphur Springs, went to the hot springs there, went out to the Mint Bar and had their Wagyu beef burgers and just a ton of fun. So those small town, kind of weekend road trips can be some of the best ones you can find.
Yeah, and that story was sourced from KPBQ, so appreciate their reporting on that. But yeah, and you talk about, like all the planning that goes into putting your wedding together. And of course, you want everything to be perfect. Well, it was far less than perfect when they showed up that morning. But you're right, so much more meaningful because they had so many more people that they didn't even know who were so invested in their happiness and making sure that they got married and had a wonderful day and great memories. And so that does, I mean, it's just, you you say with a lot of things, it takes a village. It took a village to make sure that Travis and Carson got married and had a beautiful wedding day. And I do think in the end, even though they never would have wished for something like that to happen, they made the best out of the situation. And whoever tried to sabotage their perfect day, well, they lost in the end because Travis and Carson are married and they've kind of been adopted by the White Sulphur Springs community now. So, you know, they've got friends everywhere, and what a beautiful commentary on the power of small towns and really the power of love.
Yeah, got a great email here from Dave in the Shields Valley, you know, where we were talking about White Sulphur Springs. Well, a little south of there, you get to the Shields Valley. Dave said this about, you know, we were talking about Judith Gap and how they're going to be doing, you know, more fresh foods instead of processed foods. Dave, this was his idea. Hey, when they're doing the local beef at the schools, have the local butcher show the school kids how you butcher and process a beef. Do a butcher class while you're at it. That's a great idea.
That is a great idea. Yeah.
Got to take part in that. That's the kind of adult continuing education class that I should try to enroll in just for fun. That'd be a great time. Well, Becky Hillier, we always appreciate you joining us here on Montana Talks. Thanks for being so much for being with us, and have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Have a good weekend.
All right. Coming up after the break, Tyler Newcomb with the Montana State Auditor's Office. This was a headline that caught my eye earlier this week, and we haven't gotten a chance to talk about it, but that's all right. Our guest coming up right after this is going to tell us all about it. Montana State Auditor James Brown joins call for the SEC to investigate.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this was a headline that caught my eye earlier this week. I've been meaning to kind of talk about it all week long here, but better that we didn't yet, because now we've got a great guest joining us once again here on Montana Talks to talk about this story in particular. Here is the headline. Montana State Auditor James Brown joins call for the SEC to investigate delisting CCP-based insurers. And we've got Tyler Newcomb back with us here on the phone lines. Tyler is the communications director for the State Auditor's Office. Tyler, good to have you back on the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so what's the story here? Because, you know, earlier this summer we did a great show live from Big Sky, where the National Association of Insurance Commissioners was having their big meeting, hosted, of course, by State Auditor James Brown here in Montana. And one of the topics we covered was how, you know, one of the problems with the insurance industry today is that a lot of this business might be headquartered in Europe. And so you get these woke Europeans trying to force some of these woke policies into America vis-a-vis our insurance markets. But this is another topic altogether. Chinese firms, communist Chinese firms, and their access to our insurance markets. What's the threat here?
Well, the threat's huge. Obviously, the original sin, you and I both know, is that coastal elites and liberals have been selling our country out for better part of a generation now. And this is really an extension of the America First policy, demanding that these Chinese firms get out of our markets if they're not going to play by our rules.
When you look at the insurance markets in particular, or just the communist Chinese in general, you know, when it comes to technology, for example, okay, we very clearly understand the threat there, where you have, you know, the communist Chinese using technology, maybe through our telecommunications networks or through security camera networks. Well, now they're able to spy on Americans or spy on our, you know, military installations, for example. What's the threat within the insurance markets in particular, and how does this tie into, you know, national security policy on that front?
I think the biggest threat is that if these companies are funded by foreign adversaries, they can pull the rug on Montanans and Americans at a moment's notice.
Yeah, it's the lack of accountability, basically, right?
There's no accountability. There's no oversight. They're playing by their rules, not our rules. It's kind of like the fox guarding the hen house in a lot of ways.
What were some of the things that stood out to State Auditor James Brown and what he specifically referenced in this letter, along with other, you know, insurance commissioners from across the country, in terms of what prompted him to sign on to this letter in particular?
One of the things that was very, very just astonishing to the auditor and what made him want to take action was over 90% of these Chinese firms, Aaron, hide behind fake VIE shell companies, VIE shell companies. And that leaves American investors without real ownership and wide open to fraud.
It's just crazy how much the communist Chinese have been allowed to take over so much of American business, so much of American industry. Absolutely crazy. All right. Well, Tyler Newcomb, great to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us. Anything else you want to tell folks across Montana?
I think this is the first of many actions that the auditor is going to take, so definitely stay tuned. And, you know, whether it's a scam in Sanders County or billionaires in Beijing that are trying to harm Montanans, the auditor is looking to aggressively prosecute all of those bad actors and protect Montanans.
All right. Tyler, great to have you. Thanks again for being with us here on Montana Talks. We've got the phone lines open for you as well, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. In fact, let me check. I think we just got a couple of new messages that just came in. Oh, here we go. So earlier we were talking with Becky Hillier, and I was talking about, you know, the bathroom in Moose's Saloon in Kalispell, and then Andy in Whitefish says, hey, remember the bulldog in Whitefish? And then, you know, I just had this idea. What are the craziest, coolest, or most memorable restaurant, bar, or frankly, any business bathrooms in Montana? Tater in Forsyth says this. Ingomar would definitely rank in the top five for bathrooms. Now, is this the one at the Jersey Lily? Now, tell us, Tater, why would Ingomar rank in the top five for bathrooms in Montana? Maybe you got a photo that can go with that one. Let's see. Right on John in Los Angeles. When you heard the headline there in the 7:30 Fox News update about how they're now going to change the Defense Department to the War Department. Right on John in Los Angeles says, I like the Department of Warriors better. So that would be a slight change that Right on John would make. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Let's see, what do we go back to? Where do we go next? Let me go to this one. This one just caught my eye here. I was scrolling through some of the Fox News radio headlines because, of course, we are your Fox News affiliate here on your local radio station here in the early morning hours of Montana Talks. The search for unaccompanied minors. You've seen it. You've heard it. You've got these virtue signalers on the left. They pretend that they care so much more about everybody else than you do. They pretend that, oh, they're such better people than you are. They pretend that the reason they support open borders is because they care about people and they want to help people. And that's why they want to let anybody come into this country. Like all the rapists and the murderers and the drug dealers and everything that they allowed to come into this country. But yet, look at how they virtue signal. Look at how they pretend to be, oh, so much more virtuous than you. And they try to tell you how you're not Christian unless you allow the rapists and the murderers to invade the country. And then what did they do? They allowed human traffickers and sex traffickers to traffic kids into this country across our wide open southern border. And then they lost track of the very kids that they allowed into this country. It's just another mess that the Trump administration is working to clean up. So this name caught my eye here. John Fabricatori, Senior Advisor, Health and Human Services, Office of Refugee Resettlement. Did any of these Democrat senators want to talk about this during the hearings yesterday with the HHS Secretary, RFK Jr.? So John Fabricatori, we've had him on this show several times. We got a chance to chat with him on the show. He is a former ICE field office director. He was the Colorado state director for ICE. Then he was the Wyoming state director for ICE. In fact, John Jackson and I got to meet him down in Las Vegas during the SHOT Show this past January. But yeah, this is his job now. He is with the HHS Office of Refugee Resettlement, and they're trying to find all the kids that the Biden regime lost. This should not have happened. Fox News getting an exclusive access to the team tracking thousands of unaccompanied minors who the Trump administration says were released to unvetted sponsors under the Biden administration. Remember the story earlier in the week? A liberal federal judge is blocking the Trump administration from reuniting Guatemalan kids with their Guatemalan parents. No, 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 no. You can't reunite those kids with those parents. After the Biden regime, you know, deliberately. Anyway, for the first time, the Department of Health and Human Services gave Fox a tour of its Washington, D.C. war room, the command center that tracks down unaccounted for minors and their sponsors. To date, the team created under the Trump administration claims to have identified and located more than 22,000 children. And they say investigations have led to the arrest of more than 400 sponsors. John Fabricatori says this. He says, quote, we're talking about debt bondage, children made to work off debt, trafficking debt, children brought into situations and then treated like sexual slaves. The team has also identified 27 unaccompanied minors found dead. This is what Joe Biden and John Tester allowed to happen when they deliberately opened up the borders for this invasion and when they deliberately released these kids to people that weren't even their family members. This is what you woke liberals who virtue signaled to the rest of us did. You bear responsibility too.
And now a message from McAfee.
Your package couldn't be delivered.
You owe thousands in unpaid tolls.
You want a free gift.
If texts like these sound familiar, McAfee can help. McAfee automatically identifies text and email scams as well as AI-generated audio to help you stay safe. If they're faking it, they're not making it past us. Get award-winning scam detection today. McAfee.com/keepitreal.
Fox News commentary.
Cheap Chinese fashion brand Shein had a big oopsie with one of their male model images. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week. Every week, we check in with Jimmy Fallon, bring in authors for The Book Club, and even treat some of your favorite Fox personalities to a very special happy hour. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Kennedy Saves the World. America's listening to Fox News.
Chinese fast fashion brand Shein is under fire after a male model bearing an uncanny resemblance to accused murderer Luigi Mangione was spotted wearing one of their budget shirts on the site. Now, Shein quickly removed the image and launched an internal investigation, claiming an outside vendor supplied that photo. It remains unclear whether the image is actually Mangione or an AI rendering or just a disturbingly good look-alike. The company says it's tightening oversight to prevent anything like this from happening again, which is reassuring because no one wants to see O.J. Simpson or Brian Koberger modeling their next lead-scented romper. Bottom line is this. If they can't vet their models, how can we trust their products or the working conditions behind them? I say, tariff it all and tariff it fast. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures will stay at around 73 degrees. For tonight, we can expect clear skies
Lows in the mid-40s. And then the outlook for the weekend does call for more sunshine and some warming temperatures into the upper 70s to around 80 on Saturday. Clear Saturday night with lows in the mid-40s to around 50. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
All right. I know you guys want to keep hearing the promo that talks about the Missoula man stealing the tips and then exposing himself to the employee there. But we're going to promote another story today, the Red Bull 2 project. Montana's House Republicans are fighting for this important logging project, forest health project, whatever you want to call it, near St. Regis, Montana. Check out that story and much more. Go to MontanaTalks.com.
You need to give us a call at 406-651-8109 or come see us at 547 South 20th Street West.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I finally was able to listen to this soundbite here from Harry Enten. Harry Enten is CNN's pollster. And, you know, Democrats are calling for RFK Jr. to be fired or to resign or to step down. Harry Enten immediately throwing cold water on the Democrats with this one, pointing out that according to polling, that RFK Jr. is the most popular of all of President Trump's cabinet members, which kind of makes sense when you think about it, because Republicans are happy with the work that RFK Jr. is doing. The independents love RFK Jr., and a lot of Democrats still love the Kennedy, even though other Democrats see him as public enemy number one, because how dare would a Kennedy team up with Donald J. Trump? And so they have a particular hatred for RFK Jr., specifically because he bailed on the Democrat Party. All right, we got a couple callers on the phone lines. Let's jump right into it. Gary in Billings. Gary, thanks for the call. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Thanks for taking my call.
Morning. I
appreciate everything you're doing.
Well, appreciate you. Thank you.
I want to weigh in on this property tax subject you've been talking about. It is so unfair to punish older people. South Dakota does not have a property tax or income tax. Wyoming does not have an income tax. We're surrounded by states that have that. And you look at all the people that come to Billings on these conventions. If we just had a 1% tax on anything you buy, we would not need a property tax and tax us out of our house. It's just stupid. There's only four states left that does not have a property tax eliminated.
Yeah, but you know, you mentioned, you know, all those people that come in into Billings from Wyoming. But here's the deal. The reason why a lot of those people come into Billings from Wyoming is because there is no sales tax. So you'd see a hit on local businesses as a result of that. I still fundamentally think that the problem isn't a revenue problem. It's a spending problem when it comes to property taxes. It's not like the state and these cities and these counties are losing so much money and then they're desperate to say, oh, we need more money. Where are we going to get it from? No, they're already getting plenty of money. It's just never enough for them. And so if they get a foothold with another tax, they'll just use that to take even more of your money as a senior citizen. They'll still keep taxing your property, but then they'll tax your groceries and everything else, too, at the same time. All right, Gary, great to hear from you. Sorry to cut it short. We got another caller on the phone lines. Caden, go ahead and send us Chris in Billings. All right, there we go. Chris, we got about a minute to go. What's on your mind here on this Freedom Friday?
Real quick, I make my point. I cringe every time I hear It's a Village. First of all, that's a book by Hillary Clinton. That ideology takes away from the family. And that's what one of the foundations is for, what one of the isms, socialism, communism, and religion.
Who was using the It Takes a Village line lately that triggered that thought?
One of your, I don't want to disparage one of your callers. It was an early caller.
Oh, that's okay.
About,
yeah, that's
15
okay.
Minutes.
Yeah.
So I cringe every time I hear that. They want to take away from the family, and that's what that does. People who pay attention for a lot of years knew that. You know what I'm saying? So...
Yeah.
I just cringe every time I hear that.
Yeah, I kind of see both sides of it. Like, it doesn't take a village. No, it takes a family, right? Like, that's,
yes.
Yeah. And yes. What Hillary Clinton was trying to do, which is what the Biden regime did to these kids that we were just talking about, they want to separate kids from their parents. That's what this transgender push is all about, separating yes. kids from their parents and from reality at the same time, too. But I also think there is something to look when a whole community rallies together. Man, I'll tell you what, when I was a little kid, man, I'm so thankful I had so many people looking out for my brother and I and, you know, helping out my grandparents and people out on the town and my mom's friends and my dad's friends that, you know, take us out fishing and things. And so I there is something to community, but at the end of the day, it comes back to the family. You're exactly right. Thanks for that phone call.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
KBUL.